Hello, my friend. Are you a superhero in disguise, tirelessly juggling the needs of everyone around you while you put your aspirations and future on the back burner? Well, you're not alone, and you've just landed in the perfect spot. Welcome to the third season of Surviving to Thriving, the podcast designed exclusively for phenomenal women who are ready to take back their lives. I'm your host, Janessa Durrani, a wife and mom to two crazy teen boys. I combine my 30-plus years of experience in design and personal development to help women create lives they love, inside and out. So get ready to laugh, learn, and leap into a life where you are the leading lady, not just the supporting role. It's time to trade surviving for thriving. Let's go. Have you ever seen the Hulu series, The Bear? It's poised as a comedy, but it is not really funny. It is just incredibly dramatic. And it follows an Italian family through the restaurant business. That's as brief of overview as I can give you. I don't want to spoil it for you. I highly recommend it. But as it relates to today's episode, there is one episode in the second season where Jamie Lee Curtis plays the matriarch of this family. And you go to her home, and if you were to just hit pause, you would think you were watching a Hallmark movie. Everything is beautifully appointed, idyllic even. Everything in its place, gorgeous. And everyone has smiles in their Christmas sweaters, and so forth. Then you press play again. It pans to Jamie Lee Curtis in the kitchen where she has taken it upon herself to prepare an evening of Italian Christmas delight, which is the seven fishes and all of the spaghettis, lasagnas, and so forth. And it is cacophony of timers. She's yelling and screaming because timers just keep going off and everything is timed to a different thing and she doesn't know which timer is going to which thing. Everyone is asking her if she's okay. She's taking offense to this. She's yelling, she's screaming, she's smoking her cigarette. She's got her wine in one hand and she keeps yelling, "I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you." It is absolute and total chaos. And while it is incredibly dramatic fiction, I can only imagine that you have a story, a memory, or a time when you were in a similar situation, when you were killing yourself to make everything perfect for your family, for your friends. You chose to do this. You put yourself in this situation, but you're too exhausted to even see that no one cared. No one wanted this. They wanted you. They wanted your attention. They wanted your presence, not your presence. I have helped my clients prepare for the holidays for more than 20 years. I have seen it all. I have heard it all, and I have been there myself, my friend, sitting outside on the back step, bawling my freaking eyes out after slaving over the perfect Thanksgiving spread, only to have my husband say, "I'm not really hungry." It's a good thing I went outside and worked through that with tears because I would have hurt him. So each client asks me, "Janessa, how do I get it all done? How can I get more done between now and the holidays," right? Time is always what we think is our issue. Let me pack it all in because I still have to work and be a mom and do all the things. And then holidays is the extra. But lean in, my friend. The answer is not in the more. It's in the less. How can you do less and get more? More smiles, more memories, more hugs, more gratitude, more sleep, more fresh air, more love? The answer is less. So what does that mean? Think of the best meal you have ever eaten at the best restaurant you've ever been to. It likely was an incredible flavor-packed entree that was created with a few amazing ingredients. So simple that you were sure you could replicate it, but you wouldn't even know where to begin. It was like magic. The restaurant was orderly and beautiful and had just the right amount of light and sound and music. It brought you to a place where you could appreciate the meal even more. You left satisfied, pampered, and grateful for the experience and the connection you had with your dinner companions. That, my friend, is what I want your holidays to be. A beautifully appointed season with a few amazing ingredients, with just the right amount of gifts, cheer, and connection. Does that sound like a pipe dream? You thinking I'm a crazy person? Because if we aren't exhausted, losing sleep, overdrafting our bank accounts, and baking at 2 a.m., then we're not doing it right. We're clearly then failing as a mother, a wife, and a family member, right? That's where we need to start. What are the beliefs around what the holidays are and what they should be? And again, a reminder that shoulds are what others are giving us the impression that we need to be doing. So let's talk about the strategies of creating your ideal holiday season where less is more. So first, think about your typical holiday season. What are your intentions each year? What do you go into it like, this is the year I'm going to, what is it that you're always wanting? And then where do things fall apart? When do the wheels fall off and all goes haywire? Is it that you have a list of gifts and a budget, but then someone asks for something else, so you throw it on, but now you have to even it out for each kid because you can't have one opening more presents than the other. And now they all have asked for something more and you forgot that you'd already bought them something. And where did you put those again? And oh my gosh, I forgot the teachers and the bus drivers. And why is it that we think we need to buy something for the trash collectors? Once we can ascertain what typically happens, now I want you to think back to the best holiday of your life. The most memorable or the most enjoyable, most adventurous, whatever comes to mind. It could be when you were 5 or it could have been last year, matters not. What made it the best? What elements were present? Was it where you were or the environment? Was it who you were with and the connections that were possible? Was it about the gifts you gave or received? Knowing what has been meaningful in the past helps us create new memories going forward. Now I want you to determine what matters. What's your why? Are your kids or grandkids little and you want them to have a magical experience? Are your kids like mine soon to be launching out into the world and you're wanting to give them impactful memories before they go? Are you wanting to share your home with those that you love? Do you love to shower attention on your loved ones and want to lean into that this year? For me, my intention is always connection. I want to connect with people in the holiday season. Next, think about all of the elements that make up your holiday traditions. What are they? Do you do holiday cards, cookie exchanges? Do you host? What gifts do you like to buy? Do you decorate? Do you bake? Do you travel? For each one of the things on your list, I want you to make 4 quick lists. First, what are the things that you love about them? What are the things you hate about it? What are the things you admire from others? And what are the things that you are annoyed by others? So here's an example to see what I mean. Let's take holiday cards, for example, for me. I love crafting an original card. I love finding a fun photo of my family and pulling photos from all of our travels. I love sharing funny stories with everyone about our year. But I don't love the cost. I don't love having to address them. And I seem to always wait until the last minute. Things that I admire from others in their holiday cards is those that do professional photos and those who handwrite their envelopes. What I don't like is when I feel like I have just received, it's like one step up from junk mail. It's like they phoned it in, threw it into an envelope, and sent it off, checked it off their list. I do not like braggy holiday letters or ones that seem so boring. I don't love printed labels. Totally get it, just don't love it. And I don't love the fact that so many people just send a card without any indication of what they're doing in their lives. It's as if the holiday card is just telling me that they're still alive. So with your four lists, you can then create a new intention and plan that aligns with your why. So again, my why is connection. I love sending cards as happy mail to like brighten someone's mailbox. We get far too much junk mail. But it's a lot. It can be a lot to do something that is as much handcrafted as I want to do. So how can I do less and receive more? My list seems to grow exponentially. That's really where the problem is, and more, right? Cards, we need 9,000 of them, so we go to a lower, no one should be able to send someone to college with your holiday card budget, right? So for me, my list gets too big. And then of course I can't do all of the handcrafting that I want and I can't hand write things and so forth. So I also don't want to offend anyone by taking them off my list. But by keeping my list long, I'm really not connecting with people. I'm phoning it in as well. So I cut my list every year and this is how I do it. So we got married 9 million years ago, and when I was going to send my wedding invitations, I took out my holiday card list, and I went to just start addressing, and I was like, well, I don't really want to invite them to the wedding, and I'm not going to invite them to the wedding. And I started thinking, if I don't want these people at my most cherished event, why am I sending them a holiday card? My holiday card list should be for those that I love and want to have in my life and want to have over. So that is the filter that I put it through each year. There are some people that my kids were friends with 75 years ago that it doesn't make a difference. And so I do feel like we so often are like, oh, well, I need to send it so that they'll send me theirs. And it's like, we're kind of all just keeping this whole thing going and making it difficult for everyone. But the benefits of having a smaller list is that I can do a more handcrafted card. I mean, something simple. I'm not going crazy, but something that is more personal. I'm also able to address the envelopes, and I always have a holiday letter. Now, just as a sidebar, if you're not familiar with our holiday letter is a storytelling device that we tell everyone about all of our follies for the year. Like the year that I ran over a couch cushion, drug it 2 miles, and then it spontaneously combusted outside of where I was volunteering and the fire department had to be called. Things like that. As opposed to, and all of my children are going to Aruba for their spring break, and then they're all going abroad for college and so forth. Nobody wants to hear that. Everyone wants to hear that they are not alone and that crazy stuff happens. So when I was probably 5 years old, I got the best gift that I had ever received. That is still the most memorable gift that I've received, except for the knife sharpener that my husband got me that I made him send right back and so forth. That also has its own memory for its own reasons. But in any case, my best gift ever was a pair of pom-poms that my Aunt Kelly and Uncle Shane gave me. Now, they were only 7 and 10 years older than me. So they were like in middle school, high school when they gave this to me. And they had made them. They were two dowels. And then they had taken white garbage bags and kind of wrapped them around the dowel and taped them. And then they cut strips in the white garbage bags and they made pom-poms. And I loved those pom-poms. Holiday cards is one thing, gifting is another. Gifts are things that we fall down a rabbit hole. We try to just, let's cover all of our bases. Let's, more is more and that is better and so forth. But ask your kids, ask your family members, what was the best gift you ever got? What's the most memorable gift you got? As I was saying at the beginning, we go down this place of everyone cares and everything is big and needs to be big. I question if that's true. And I would like you to question if that's true. There is so much more value in providing an experience than another thing that we have to wrap and find a place for once it comes into our house. What in gift giving can you do less and get more? Decorating for some is gigantic. I did a video on TikTok the other day and a woman replied that she has 14 Christmas trees. I don't think I have 14 corners in my house. Why does someone need 14 Christmas trees? And the thought of putting out all of the decorations is always fun for those, but putting them away. Oh my goodness. I have a friend who'll keep her Christmas tree up way too long to the point where she's put Valentine's ornaments on it in February and then she takes it down. So is it necessary? Like, why are we doing this? Why do we need 14 Christmas trees? What is gained in that? What is the work? Is it in alignment with your why? For mine, for connection, why? There is nothing that says I need to have even one stick of decoration to have connection. Entertaining. Do you love it because you love to cook and shower people with intention? Or do you want to connect? Because you need to lean into that part. We have friends, we go to their house for dinner, and they have no less than 15 items that they have made from scratch for a spread. They never sit down. They rarely eat. They look haggard by the end. They haven't had, I leave their house full. Don't get me wrong, it's all lovely, but I don't get to have a conversation with them because they're too busy doing. Where are those opportunities that you can have people in your home and actually spend time with them? Why do we have to feel like we have to do it all? And here, big time key, perfect is boring. Nobody wants to see your perfectly appointed home and all the things looking cheery and so forth. That's not sustainable. And that makes other people feel bad. Okay. By killing ourselves year after year for the holidays, we are actually damaging our relationships. We are setting our children up to think that this is what's expected of them when they grow up. We are unintentionally making our friends and family feel lesser than if they choose to have a simpler holiday. We are inevitably going to feel resentment for our family as we feel like no one is helping. And if they do try to help and we are controlling the situation and then decline their help, they're less apt to offer in the future. Our family and friends don't want expensive gifts, 14 Christmas trees, catered parties, and gold leaf holiday cards. They want us. They want to hear from us. They want to see us. They want to talk to us. Not through the kitchen door as we're trying to get out the seven fishes and a full Italian feast. They want to have a conversation over a fun charcuterie board with a lot of laughs. If you can't even imagine how to turn the tides of the holidays to one where you are present, one where you are in the photographs, where you are rested and stress-free, then I'm here for you. This is my jam. I have a special package for the holidays giving you all of my effortless tips for a stress-free holiday season. It includes a private consultation with me so that we can create your ideal holiday. Until then, my friend, remember, less is more. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Surviving to Thriving. Remember, you're not alone in this adventure, and I'm here cheering you on every step of the way. If you found value in today's episode and want to stay connected, make sure to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform by subscribing. You'll never miss an episode filled with practical strategies, my quirky stories, and of course, a few laughs along the way. And hey, let's spread the word together. If you're loving what you're hearing, I'd be incredibly grateful if you would take a moment to leave a review. Your reviews not only make my day, but they also help other incredible women like yourself find the podcast and join our thriving community. So as we wrap up today, remember that you are worth every freaking ounce of effort you put into yourself. If you need me, you can find me at Just Janessa on all social media platforms, and my email is in the show notes. Catch you in the next episode.